Peter King from Sports Illustrated and Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback and also NBC and Football Night in America. What's going on there, Peter? How you been?
Paul, everything is going great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Love the combine. Love the we're here doing shows Thursday and Friday, so the energy level is good. And we just had a very unique moment with the Johnny Manziel presser here, and the concourse level here at Lucas Oil Stadium cleared out. I couldn't figure out why. Then I saw Johnny Football on TV. I would assume you were in there.
Yeah, I was.
What happened? What was it like?
Yeah, just what was he saying? Yeah, we didn't get to hear it out here.
I thought he was He did a really impressive job. He, you know, people asked him the questions that needed to be asked. One of which I didn't even know. Somebody said to him, "Hey, did you?" Is it true that you sought alcohol counseling, while at Texas A&M?
Wow.
And he said, I saw a counselor. I'm not currently seeing him. There were some word games played about what exactly, what level of counseling there was. But I think he answered the questions. He's 5'10 and three quarters, and that's or 5'11 and three quarters, rather, and that's obviously going to be an issue. And I think his feeling is the same way as my feeling is. You know, we've now seen it two times in the last 4 years. We've seen a 6 foot or less quarterback win the Super Bowl. First Drew Brees and then Russell Wilson. So
right.
I'm just not sure that that is the is 5 years. I'm not sure that that's the non-starter that it used to be. I'm not sure his height is going to be the determining factor in where he's drafted.
But the off-the-field life of Johnny Manziel,
yep,
when you're about set to give somebody X amount, tens
right
of millions of dollars, I think it's a legitimate talker, don't you?
No question. And that is certainly what all of these NFL teams are going to investigate. What happened to you at the Manning Passing Academy?
Right.
Why are you? Why did you live on Twitter and Instagram with, you know, out at 2 o'clock in the morning with, you know, all kinds of people? So that's the kind of stuff that people are going to ask him, and that is going to be a determining factor, I think, in where he gets picked.
Yeah.
Peter, do you, we've seen other people that have come in with character questions that, you know, and people that have had some various issues. Cam Newton comes to mind. And, you know, there are a lot of teams that may have shied away from, but Carolina decided to make him the first overall selection. Ended up being fine. Do you have any sense of, you know, what it is that makes some kids pull it together, get their act together, and some kids that just never end up maturing?
Well, I think in Johnny Manziel's case, you know, here's a kid who grew up in Texas. He's been, you know, sort of almost, groomed for this moment.
Yeah.
Ever since he was probably in middle school, certainly in high school, that, you know, he was always the best player. He was always a guy who everybody gravitated toward him. And so I think you have to have all of the characteristics. You know, I think he really reminds me a lot at this stage of his career of like a Brett Favre, where Brett Favre, you remember the day that Brett Favre got traded from the Atlanta Falcons to the Green Bay Packers. He was a 248-pound third-string quarterback who drank too much. And the Falcons had very little interest in keeping him at that point. And so, you know, honestly, Johnny Manziel has a lot of the same issues now. Mm-hmm. He's got to convince NFL teams that he's not a party boy. That's putting it very, very simply. He has to convince teams he's not a party boy.
A lot of people like to connect him to Houston in the first overall pick because of the Texas connection. I think the Texans are going to want to take the best player, and I don't know that that him being from Texas makes any bit of difference in this. Do you find that teams will ever make a draft pick because somebody has a geographic connection?
I would be shocked if Bill O'Brien, who's not from Houston, and Rick Smith, who's not from Houston, who have to make this call, are going to sit in their draft room and say, darn it, boy, we got to make the people of Houston happy and take Johnny Manziel. It's silly. They're going to take the guy who's the best guy for them. Now, having said that, I'd be surprised if they didn't pick a quarterback.
Me too.
And I don't know who it'll be. Nobody knows. The draft is 11 weeks away.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's plenty of time. But I think the one thing about Houston to realize is that, you know, Bill O'Brien in his career has been more of a pocket quarterback guy. And, you know, you look at the guy he had the most success with in New England, obviously Tom Brady, pocket quarterback. You look at his quarterbacks at Penn State in the 2 years he was there, pocket guys. And then you look at Bob McNair. Bob McNair is a very conservative guy who does not want even a whiff of scandal. And he doesn't want to be wondering if his starting quarterback is going to be out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, again, I'm not even saying that Manziel is that guy. All I'm saying is that teams are going to press his buttons to find out if this really was a phase that he's finished with.
Peter King, Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, NBC, Football Night in America, etc. How is Monday Morning Quarterback progressing, Peter?
Having a good time, Paul. It's, I'm doing all kinds of different things than I've ever done in my life. I'm going and talking to advertisers and trying to convince them to come on board with us.
Well, that's fine.
It's a different world. Last year, in the months before we started out, I spent 19 days of my life going to talk to advertisers across the United States.
All right.
And it was very, very interesting. And this year, I'm doing a lot of the same early, and but I think it's good because I think our business is changing, and I think we're not getting paid for the same stuff that we used to get paid for. I used to never have any concern. The only thing I was ever concerned about was getting my story to Sports Illustrated in on time. That's it.
Yeah.
And now I'm concerned with...
And your dog.
Okay. Yeah, I've always been concerned. Both dogs.
Both dogs.
But
I love your dogs.
I've always sort of just worried about what was important. And to me, it wasn't important before worrying about, you know, how many people read my story or anything like that. I just did the best I can. Whoever read it, read it. Whoever didn't, didn't. But now you've got to be concerned about all that because the advertisers are concerned and because now I'm a boss. I have employees.
Yeah.
And I have to worry about, you know, if these stories, if nobody is clicking on them, then eventually the advertisers are going to go away. So we have to always be in search of great stories. And that's really what I'm in search of now. It used to be 6 or 8 months a year. Now it's 12 months a year.
Monday Morning Quarterback, or MMQB.com, had a fantastic story, I believe authored by you, about a week ago on everything that happened around the Browns melting down in the last, you know, last few months. And I thought it was a deep, long story that talked a lot about philosophy of the owners and all the change there. It feels to me like this is now the most dysfunctional organization in football. And the story I thought was very even-handed in that you presented the owner's reasons for making the changes, but you were still pretty skeptical about a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have come to the conclusion now that if you're an owner of a team and you think you've made a mistake with your CEO, your GM, and your coach, first of all, you should make a change. Okay, you should make changes. I don't have any problem with you making changes whatsoever. But if you make a change with all three big football people, okay, if you do that, then you have to say to yourself, now, let's see, what did I do wrong in the first place? And to me, I think that's the question right now with Jimmy Haslam, who I like personally. But I think the question with Jimmy very simply is, now he's hired Ray Farmer, and he's got Mike Pettin as his head coach. Now you have to ask yourself, are you pretty sure of those guys? Are you pretty sure? Because if you're not, now you are going to be, you're going to define the word circus. Everybody thinks you're a circus, but now it's going to be even worse if you don't get these guys right.
A minute to go. Vikings from 5-10-1, eighth overall, $20 to $25 million in free agency money to spend. Peter King, make our favorite team better.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing that I would do if I were Rick Spielman and our Rob Brzezinski, Ziggy Wolf. The one thing I would try to do is I would try to add one person to the receiving core, okay? And that one person I try to add is Julian Edelman. Hmm. I have come to the conclusion that a really good slot receiver and, honestly, at least one, more than one, because they get hurt. They get beat up.
Yeah. They're over the middle all the time,
Now,
this is brilliant.
To me, Julian Edelman, I think, could be a tonic, because think of this. Vikings are probably going to have a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. If the Vikings have a new quarterback, that quarterback is going to want to have multiple security blankets.
For sure.
Cordarrelle Patterson, send him deep. That's fantastic. That should be his role. But in my opinion, I think what's really, really important for them to do is to make sure that your quarterback is comfortable in the intermediate and short areas of the field. To do that, in my opinion, my number one target would be to get the best slot guy on the market.
Peter, thank you, and have a great weekend, okay?
Paul, thank you.
Good
Paul,
seeing you again.
All the best
to
you guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Peter King, Sports Illustrated and NBC, and also MMQB.com.